Okay, and I want to start with opening our Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 13. This is an amazing verse written for us in the Bible that will encourage us, I believe, today. Let's read it. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord, your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. What a promise of God. God said, I will make you a head and not the tail. What does that remind you of, head and tail? For me, it reminds me of a dog. Okay, a dog has a head and a dog has a tail. What does that mean? What does the head and tail represent? Well, usually when I think about dogs, I think they think with their heads and they feel with their tails, right? They show you how they feel. If the dog's tail is wagging, you can come and you know, pat him and play with him. But when the tail is all tense, right, then you better be careful how you treat that dog, all right? Head represents position of leadership. Tail represents of tail wagging behind. It's like driving a car from the back seat. You're not really driving. Somebody else is driving the car. You're just sitting in the back. It represents a position. Tail represents a position of not just following, but being almost forced to. You go where you don't want to go. God says, I want to make you a head. And I will make you the head and not the tail. So when we begin to think with our emotions and lead with our emotions, what are we? We are the tail. When we begin to think according to what the Word of God says, we're leading with our head. God doesn't want His people to be leading with the tail. God promised to make His people the head. And you know what? When we became a Christian, He made us from a slave to a son. Slave represents we were slave to sin. But now we are sons. We're in a headship. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places, Bible says. We're no longer at His feet. We're with Him, seated in heavenly places. God promised to make us head and not the tail. Genesis 1, 28. Do you know what it says? Put it up, guys. Genesis 1, 28. Then God blessed Adam and Eve, them, and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it, and have what? Dominion over people. No? Other human beings. Your neighbor. Your wife. Your husband. Psh. No? It doesn't say that. Okay, so not over people, but what does he say? Have what? Dominion. Have governorship. Have rulership over. Do you know that you were created to have dominion? You were not created to be the tail. Tail has no dominion. It just follows. Every human being was created in the image of God. Do you know what that means? You were created to be the head, not the tail. And Satan wants to do this. He wants to overblow your head, make it too big. You know, pride. Or he wants to make you feel like you're nothing. And for most of us, we feel many times like we're nothing. And God says, I don't want you to feel like you're nothing. I want you to feel like you're the head and not the tail. So God says, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God created you to have dominion. Now, if he didn't create us to have dominion over fish of the sea, over the people, what did he create us to have dominion over? And that's the question. Because people who have dominion are healthier and happier. Did you know that? Now, today I'm going to use science to prove. Because what is science? Science is study of God's creation. That's all it is. Science is study of God's creation, right? So science does not conflict, not unless it has a different agenda. You know, some science has different atheistic agenda, meaning we come from the point there is no God, we want to prove there is no God. But if you're just scientists and observe the creation, you'll see God in it. Paul says, if you watch the stars, you'll see God. If you watch things that are created, you will see God. Amen. So I want to present to you today, and I have three video clips, okay? So today's message is going to be kind of fun because you're going to watch TV, okay? And this is a study done in 2008 by scientist Robert Sapolsky from Stanford University. And this is a study that he did of baboons for over 30 years, okay? Monkey studies, baboons, chimps, whatever you want to call them. And what he discovered was interesting. He discovered if a baboon feels like he's the head, a dominant baboon, over his group or in his group, then he's healthier and happier. And today we will see, science will prove, that what God says a long time ago, before we studied science that deep, that he says, I want you to make you a head and not the tail. See, there's scientific proof to support what God said. Okay? Although Bible said that a long time ago. And so he studied these baboons, and then he tried to apply the same study to British civil servants. Okay? And he found a parallel in those studies. So guys, can we play first clip?
At the age of 30, Sapolsky's landmark research earned him the MacArthur Foundation's Genius Fellowship. His early work, measuring stress hormones from extracted blood, led to two remarkable discoveries. A baboon's rank determined the level of stress hormone in his system. So if you're a dominant male, you can expect your stress hormones to be low. And if you're submissive, much higher. But there was an even more revealing find. In Sapolsky's sample, low rankers, the have-nots, had increased heart rates and higher blood pressure. This was the first time anyone had linked stress to the deteriorating health of a primate in the wild.
Basically, if you're, you know, a stressed, unhealthy baboon in a typical troop, high blood pressure, elevated levels of stress hormones, you have an immune system that doesn't work as well, your reproductive system is more vulnerable to being knocked out of whack, your brain chemistry is one that bears some similarity to what you see in clinically depressed humans, and all that stuff, those are not predictors of a hale and hearty old age.
Could this also be true for that other primate? As Robert Sapolsky was monitoring stress in baboons, Professor Sir Michael Marmot was leading a study in Great Britain that tracked the health of more than 28,000 people over the course of 40 years. It was named for Whitehall, citadel of the British Civil Service, where every job is ranked in a precise hierarchy. The perfect laboratory to determine whether in humans there might be a link between rank and stress.
I mean, that's the thing about stress. I think you've got to look at it in both acute terms and chronic terms. And I think I've been under chronic stress in this organization simply because I'm a square peg in a round hole.
Kevin Brooks is a government lawyer. His rank, level 7, means he has little seniority in his department. He lives the life of a subordinate.
I think what I was most aware of at the time was the workload and how I had most of it under control, but one of my cases wasn't wholly under control. I'd let it slip. And it was a bit like, being in a car and hitting an ice patch and skidding. But nonetheless, I came in Monday morning, and my immediate manager, let's call him Ben, Ben wants a word with you. So we find a room. He shuts the door. Then he says, you know what you've done. You know what happened while you were away. We couldn't find one of your files. Do you know what that meant? He just gave me a darn good kicking, you know? Psychologically, he did me over. And at the end of it, it was more threats. It was, right, this may be a disciplinary matter. So I left the room, crossed over the corridor to my own room, and I just burst into tears and wept and wept.
Sarah Woodall also works for the government. Unlike Kevin, she is a senior civil servant.
There are about 160 people reporting to me ultimately, one way or another, within the sector. I do really enjoy working in the civil service. It's quite a dynamic environment. It can be quite exciting. I like working with lots of people. So, I do really enjoy my job.
Such dramatically different reflections dramatize one of the most astounding scientific findings in the Whitehall study.
Firstly, it showed that the lower you were in the hierarchy, the higher your risk of heart disease and other diseases. So people second from the top had higher risk than those at the top. People third from the top had higher risk than those second from the top. And it ran all the way from top to bottom. We're dealing with people in stable jobs with no industrial exposures. And yet, your position in the hierarchy intimately related to your risk of disease and length of life.
I've been very lucky. I haven't ever experienced any problems with my health. Since I've been in the senior civil service, I haven't had a day off with ill health. So I've been very fortunate.
In my own situation, I think that my career is pretty much tainted. It's pretty much arrested because I've had, for instance, for the last 3 years at work, I've been off sick for probably half that time.
This particular study is sort of the Rosetta Stone of the whole field because it's the British civil service system. Everybody's got the same medical care. Everybody's got the same universal health care system, just like the baboons. All the baboons eat the same thing. They have the same level of activity. It's not the stuff that, oh, if you're a low-ranking baboon, you smoke too much and you drink too much. And if you're a low-ranking British civil service guy, you never go to the doctor and you don't get preventive vaccines. Both of these studies rule out all those confounds, and they produce virtually identical findings.
On both sides of the primate divide, there are soul-wrenching stories and life-threatening consequences. For every subordinate like Kevin, living a life of baboon uncertainty.
All right. So what are we learning from this little study? The two options. Two options from here. Either we remove hierarchy from the world and make everybody equal. Okay? That's one option. How realistic is that? That's not going to happen. You're going to have a boss at your job, right? Or another option. We should become like baboons and bully people? No, of course not. We should not become, absolutely not. We should not bully others. Bullying others doesn't make you a better person. And it doesn't please God. Do you know what God says about bullies? He hates the oppressor who oppresses people. In the Bible, there are so many scriptures that says God hates the oppressor. God hates the bully. I just experienced bullying yesterday. I took my kids to the playground station in the park. And one kid was bullying another. And another one ran out crying and never wanted to go back and play. Maybe you've been bullied. You know how it feels. So, if we can't make everybody equal, position-wise, hierarchy-wise, what do we do? Well, that's what today's message is about. Do you think it's a coincidence that God says, I want you to have dominion? Do you think it's coincidence that God says, I want you to be the head and not the tail? See, it's not what position I believe you have in this world. I think it's how you feel about who you are. Some of us have low positions. Some of you can say, well, I'm a mother. I'm a stay-at-home mother. You know, how can I have dominion? See, it's not the job that you do that determines your dominion. It's the attitude that you have in your heart. Let me tell you a little story. When I was 14 years old, can I tell you the truth, or do you want me to make me truth? Okay, I lied on my application and I said that I was 16 just to get a job. I wanted to work, you know. So I got this job at a restaurant and they put me to be a dishwasher. They paid me $4.50 an hour. Yeah, that was a long time ago. And my position was the last one and I was the youngest. And so I started working there, and one thing I'm looking at myself now, I could have started complaining and say, this is a dishwashing job. But see, I didn't look at it that way. I'm getting $4.50 an hour, and I get to work late, like till 2 in the morning, because it was a convention center, and they would have big parties, up to 1,000 people. And so after they were done, we would have to wash all the dishes. I had another guy who worked there. His name was Dave. Dave was working there for like 14 years, as much as I could remember. 14, 15 years. And Dave hated his job. And Dave, the way he walked was that he was submissive. He hated his job. He would go to bathroom breaks. I remember then. People would make fun of him. You know how guys could, especially then, 90-something. They would show signs and things like that. He would go and spend as much time as he could there. I, on the other hand, I said, I'm a dishwasher, but guess what? I'm going to be the best one. I worked there for a year and a half. In about a year time, they started honoring me, and they started, the boss would come and watch me work, and I was the fastest dishwasher. I wanted to be that way. See, I wasn't being submitted, although I was the last person in the job. My mind wasn't submitted. In my mind, I wasn't the lowest there. I was the greatest dishwasher there was. See, you could be a mother, and you can have, oh, I'm so stressed out. I have to teach these kids, and I'm a single mother, so they probably will grow up and be unchristian because they don't have a dad. You know, you can be submissive to the devil, or you can dominate. Every woman should be a queen of her house. Every man should be a king of his house. Even a kid should be a king of his room. Because we were all created in the image of God. See, it's our attitude that determines. Now, the way we feel will tell us how we act. If we are doing our job, if we come to our job, that's why God says, whatever you do, do as unto the Lord, or do it for the glory of God. Some of us come to the job and we're like, I don't want to be here. I hate this place. I wish this place would burn. I wish the fire alarm would sound, you know. I wish we had some wackadoo or say something so we could just get out of here. Or you can go to your work and say, I'm not going to be here for long. I'm growing. I have dreams. I have goals. See, God says, I want you to dominate. Now, He doesn't want us to dominate other people. But guess what? If He wants you to dominate the gift that He has given you. If you're an accountant, guess what? He wants you to be the best accountant you could be. If you're a school teacher, He wants you to be the best school teacher. If you're the business person, you should be the best at it. And it doesn't matter if you have the lowest place in the organization. Because bosses, the managers and owners are looking for people they can raise up from their rank. How do you serve God? Maybe you're serving in a church and you're like, I don't want to do this. But I got to please Pastor. Don't do it because you want to please Pastor Alex. Do it because you want to please God and you want to be the best at what you do. And you want to find pleasure in what you do. See, what that study tells me, that monkeys who were dominant were happier and healthier. And we'll show you two more clips here. They're shorter. Okay? So if you're a single mother, you could be the best at what you do. You could be defeated and say this, the devil is going to take over. I'll never have any money. I'll never be happy. I'll always be poor and miserable. Or you can say, yes, God has dealt me these cards, and I'm going to play them well. my children are going to go to college. They are going to serve the Lord. Okay? They are going to have good Christian friends. I'll make sure of it. They'll have a good youth group to go to. I'll make sure of it. They will be taught the Word of God. I'll make sure of it. And you can do everything. But see, when devil makes you, when he destroys your mind by saying you can't do nothing, guess what? You just give up and do nothing. And then kids are raising you. And bills are controlling you. And then your health breaks down. And the health is controlling you. And God says, I want you to have dominion. Whatever area of your life. You know, the garbage man could have dominion over his garbage route. A paper boy could have dominion over his paper route. He could do the best job and he could get praised from the people he works for. It's our attitude. You know, we live in a society that we have a victim mentality. Somebody did something to me. I am broke because, not because I spent too much money, but because the politicians. We blame it on politicians. I don't have enough money because my boss won't give me a raise. Well, if he won't give you a raise, find a better job. You shouldn't be working for him if he's not giving you, if he's such a loser. That's what I did. I worked in this dishwashing company for a year and a half, and I was the best. I'm telling you, I prided myself how clean those dishes were. And those pans that we used to fry bacon on, you know, they were so hard to get out. And they wouldn't wash through the dishwasher, so you had to, like, scrub them. First you had to soak them, then you had to scrub them. Okay? And I did the best job. I mean, they were clean. I would organize the whole, you know, I'm an organizing freak. So I would organize everything in there. And the boss would say, good job. He would just go like that to me. And I'd be like, yeah. You know? Year and a half into it, I found out my friend Robbie started working there. And actually, they asked me to bring my buddies. They're like, do you know anybody else who works as hard as you? We need more people like you. So I helped my friend Dan find a job, my friend Alex find a job, my friend, I don't know. So I invited all these people, you know, who'd worked there with me. And then Robbie came in to work there as well. He was an older guy. And he just, you know, and I'm like, how much you get paid? And he said, well, I get $5 an hour. And I'm like, and I get $4.50? Uh-oh. And I went to them and said, I work way harder than that guy. All right, I practically run this place. You know how we say it when we work for somebody. And he gets $5, I get $4.50. That's it. So I started applying for different jobs, and I got another job as a dishwasher. And I became the best there. And I worked at Citibank as a dishwasher in building 2. Okay? All right, so I washed the dishes up there. People liked me. I talked to people. And one of these guys who was my manager, his name was Ray. Not my manager. He was a manager at building number 1. And he watched me work and he said, why are you washing dishes? Come work for me. Because there was never a pile of dishes in that window when I was working there. You know how there is that window in Citibank? Some of you worked there, some of you didn't. That's fine. But there's a window where people put their dirty dishes. There was never any. I prided myself on that. There's never going to be any dishes. As soon as they bring them in, I get them washed. All right? And so Ray hired me, and I worked for him. And I worked for him for a while. And then for about a year, I was the best whatever I did for him there. In that, they brought a video camera from another Citibank from Nevada. And they put it to watch me work because I was the top producer in the nation. And my job was opening envelopes. So I grew. And I got up there. And then I found out a friend of mine who was working with me, a girl, and I know I'm airing my laundry here and stuff. I was working there for a year, and I thought I was going to get promoted because I was the best envelope opener there was. I opened so many envelopes, I doubled what other people did, you know. And she got promoted and got to be a supervisor. And I was like, oh, no, she didn't. So I got tired of it, and I said, that's it, I'm leaving. And I found a company that I worked for about a year. And after that, the Lord has opened other doors for me. And I opened my own business at 17. And And since then, it's been history. See, the point is this. You could be at the lowest place, but if in your mind you are low, you could be a manager. And if you're in your mind, you are submissive, you're subdued. Guess what? The devil has won. And now you're not managing your people, but people are managing you. You're always asking, am I okay? Am I doing good? Always trying to please people. And see, so God says, I want you to dominate. I want you to be victorious. And because of that, your health will depend on that. Stress level in the monkeys who were dominant was less. You would think there would be more stress. You have to protect your turf, right? They were less stressed than the ones who were subdued and submissive. See, when the devil subdues us and makes us weak, we become stressful, we become anxious, we become fearful, we become depressed. And that's why God says, you're not supposed to be the tail. You were created to be the head. In whatever you do, you could be a garbage man, you could be a lawn boy, mowing lawns, but if in your mind, you're dominating. Maybe you're good at science and you should dominate in science. Maybe you're good in math. You should be the best accountant or whatever math jobs there are. Amen. If you're in the medical field, you shouldn't be all, I am not seniority, so things are not going to work out for me. No, God wants you to have dominion in whatever you do. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to open another scripture. And this one is in Numbers. Numbers chapter 13. This is a story of God and Israelites. God has brought His people from Egypt where they were slaves. Does anybody know what Egypt represents in this story? Our sinful lifestyle in the world. They walked through the Red Sea. What does Red Sea represent? Baptism, right? Walk through the Red Sea, water baptism. Then they went into what? Desert. Notice they didn't go to Promised Land right away. They went into the desert, wilderness to be tested. And those who passed the test went into their promise. So in this story, God says to Moses, send out 12 spies. Let me just read it. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm given to the children of Israel. Let me read that again. Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm given to the children of Israel. And so God says, take 12 guys and send them out to see the land. I'm going to read some of this. Let me see here. Verse 18, guys, 18. And see what the land is like. Whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, whether there is forest there or not, be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied the land. Verse 23. Then they came to the valley of Ashkot, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two men on the pole. So they go to this land, they spy it, and the land is so good, they had to cut a branch of grapes and carry it with one pole, two guys. Imagine that much grapes. It was amazing land where God was sending them. They also brought some pomegranates and figs. Verse 26. Now they departed and came back to Moses. So they went, spied out the land, came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness. Verse 27. Then they told him, saying, and said, we went to the land where you send us. It truly flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. Verse 28. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw descendants of Anak there. Verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land throughout which we have gone as spies is the land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in there are men of great stature." Verse 33, and this is a very important verse. "There we saw giants." The descendants of Anak came from giants. "And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, so we were in their sight." Let me read this again. "And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight." In whose sight? In our own sight. "And so we were in their sight." God showed Israel tons of miracles. God led them through Red Sea that parted. God gave them water from the rock. Gave them manna to eat that came from nowhere. And here, He promised them that, "I'm going to take you to the land. Go spy it out. Go see it." And these 10 out of 12 spies came back and said, "We're not able to take it. These people are giants up there. The cities are fortified. And we are like grasshoppers." If you know the ending of this story, God said, "You will not enter the promised land." Because with that attitude, I'm not going to let you in the promised land. See, when we think low of ourselves, lower than God thinks of us, guess what? It's not pleasing to the Lord. Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. So how are you thinking of yourself? Are you thinking of yourself as the worst sinner that there ever was? As the lowest person because of what you've done? Maybe you don't have great education and you're thinking of yourself pretty low. Well, God is speaking to us today. And He's saying to us, "I don't think of you that way. You are my children. I think greatly of you." Why would God send His only Son, Jesus, to come and die for worthless people He didn't care for? The reason He sent His Son to die, because He loves us. He cares for us. We mean something to Him. We are worth something to Him. The way you think of yourself will determine your stress level, anxiety level, fear level. Because if you think I'm nothing, then Satan comes and brings you more thoughts and saying, "You can't do nothing, you can't achieve nothing, you shouldn't be doing even your job. You should just give up and quit and move to Florida and be a bum there." Yeah, he said that to me too. It's like, what are you doing preaching? Your accent, people can't even understand you with your accent. Every week he comes to me. Can you believe that? Every week he comes to me. And eventually I had to say, "Well, if you called me, I wanted to quit, but you said no. So I'm going to be the best I can be. I'm going to serve my people the best I can. I'm going to give them the best messages I can. I'm going to visit them when they're sick the best I can. I'm going to encourage them the best I can." Hallelujah. God was upset with the 10 spies and didn't let them inherit the land. God is not happy with your low self-esteem. He's not. He wants you to be a conqueror and not a damaged goods and not just a person who gives up on life and is depressed or stressed because he has no control. The lady in that study said that she never gets sick and never misses work. You heard that, right? And the guy who was the lowest level, guess what he said? And you could see it in his face. He was defeated. He was already It said it on his face that I'm nobody. I'm a peg, square peg in a round hole, you know. That's what he said, right? How do you feel about yourself? My goal today is to encourage you because it will determine your stress level, your anxiety level. Let's show another clip and we might be done here.
Dopamine is released in the brain. It binds to receptors, signaling pleasure. Shively used a PET scanner to examine the brain of a non-stressed primate, our primate CEO.
What we see is that the brains of dominant monkeys light up bright with lots of dopamine binding in this area that's so important to reward and feeling pleasure about life.
Shively then looked at the subordinate's brain.
What we discovered is that the brains of the subordinate monkeys are very, very dull because there's much less receptor binding going on in this area. Why is that? What is it about this area of the brain? When you have less dopamine, everything around you that you would normally take pleasure in is less pleasurable. So the sun doesn't shine so bright, the grass is not so green, food doesn't taste as good. It's because of the way your brain is functioning that you're doing that, and your brain's functioning that way because you're low on the social status hierarchy.
One feature of low rank is being low ranking, the reality. An even stronger feature by the time you get...
We'll put this study. It's about 60 minutes. We'll put this study. Did you hear what she said? The submitted donkeys were less likely to enjoy food. When they tasted food, they didn't enjoy it as much. When they saw the sun, it wasn't as bright. You see what the devil does to people? You see, when we start thinking low of ourselves, lower than what God made us to be, like we're worthless. We're not worthless. With the pinnacle of His creation. You mean something to God. And He wants you to be the head or the tail. You choose. And I'm going to go back to the verse and read Deuteronomy. Can we, you guys put back that Deuteronomy verse 28:13. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe Him. So God says, if you obey Me, if you remember last week I said the anxiety comes from breaking natural law and spiritual law. See, when you start breaking laws, you start being anxious because you're being afraid of getting caught, right? Some of you told me that you changed your headlights or taillight. Thank you. If you learned that from church, I'm so glad. Hallelujah. But anyway, I had so much more to say today, but I just don't have time. We got to finish. Come back next week. We'll continue. Science only proves what the Bible said long time ago. Science can explain to you how you walk, how the body works. But a baby that's 1 year old starts walking, he doesn't understand all the details, how he walks, how his ears and how his toes play part in that, right? He just walks. Same thing. Maybe you're not, you know, scientific or very philosophical and want to know everything. You can trust the Word of God. If you don't, you'll trust the word of His enemy. And His enemy will bring defeat in your life, bring anxiety in your life. Listen, guys, if you're at a job, you should become the best at it. God says, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God, because it benefits you, heck. God's commandments are to benefit us back. Some people are like, I hate rules and religion and stuff. Well, when God says don't steal, the only reason He cares about you and your neighbor, so you don't steal from your neighbor, so He's protecting your neighbor, and He's protecting you from getting caught and going to jail and paying five times what you stole. Stole a piece of gum and now you're paying a $150 fine. Isn't God smart? Common sense. We seem to lose it sometimes in life. Hallelujah. What are the giants you're facing today? Maybe it's sicknesses. And the devil says, no, you'll never be anything. Just stop believing in God. Stop trusting him. I heard a young lady, and maybe I could do it next week. A young lady told me how she almost lost her faith when tough times hit her. But then she said, I have nobody else to trust but God. When the doctor said it's over, the doctor said it's going to be bad, God turned it around for good for His glory. He's still a God who makes miracles. He's a God who will give you victory to defeat your giant. He's the God who will help you speak to your mountain and tell you move, and it will move. At first, it may be hard because your words are so little and the mountain is so big. Your problem is so big, but God says, speak to that mountain. And as you begin to speak, it begins to move in Jesus' name. So you are going to be a great mother. You are going to have a great job. You didn't fall so low where God cannot pick you up and raise you up. Watch, even those who sometimes fall the lowest, God raises up the highest. There's something about God. He loves people. He loves to lift people up. Hallelujah. My assignment to you today is this. Start thinking good things in your life. Don't focus on the bad things in your life. The 1% that you don't have yet. Focus on 99% that you already possess. Hallelujah. Please stand to your feet.